keep in mind that a lot of us really didn't have a great education in terms of good, solid nutrition when we were young. And certainly we have to take into account the economy. They may not have what they perceive to be the budget for a healthier diet. I think there's an idea that healthy food has to be incredibly expensive, which is not necessarily the case. And when parents are working that much longer, and it is what it is, you're having to rely on these outside sources to fuel your children. And so they're getting their lunch, perhaps even their breakfast from school. So we need to look for a better quality meal there.
It's not easier, though, with all the processed food targeted at children.
No, and more, of course, they're giving schools and other programs sort of discounts on the processed food, which makes it, you know, more appealing budget-wise. But the big picture's being lost. These kids are not healthy, with 1 in 3 being overweight or obese. They're unhappy. There are higher levels of depression in children who are that unhealthy. They're bullied. I mean, it goes on. So the benefits of taking the time to make a few healthier choices to support that, both at home and in the school, is incredibly worthwhile.
So what nutrients should children be getting, and does that depend on the age?
It does depend on the age, but as a concept, you know, we like to look at the plate model. So the government has a new plate model, which is wonderful. It's something you can even start to teach your children now, where half of the plate is color. You're really looking to fill half the plate with some fruit or vegetable. That's a concept, that lunch has some color in it. I think we do a better job at dinner ensuring that there's a vegetable for children, but to make sure that, you know, the human body needs that for vitamins, for minerals, as an anti-inflammatory, you need it. You know, health starts quite young. I've seen 6 and 7 year olds on cholesterol medication, and that's obviously quite concerning to me.
6 or 7?
6 or 7 year olds with type 2 diabetes, which is the kind of diabetes we used to call adult onset that comes from weight and diet and lack of exercise. And we're seeing this in young, young children.
When I was young, of course, the emphasis always seemed to be on vitamin C for starters, calcium. Are kids even getting enough of that these days?
No, they really aren't. If you compare, say, the 1950s to now, as an example, kids then would have, say, 3 cups of milk to 1 glass of soda. And now it's absolutely the reverse. Children today are having 3 cups of soda to every 1 glass of milk. And it's not necessarily about the milk, but it's how are we going to get in calcium for their bones, along with vitamin D, which we're finding more and more is just integral in cancer prevention, in allergies and asthma, in attention deficit. There are many things where vitamin D can be meaningful, and it's hard to get.
What are you recommending to parents to counterbalance this?
Take advantage of any of the resources that are available to them. If it means that you make more of an effort to ensure that their breakfast that you might be in control of has a fruit in it, do that. Stand up for your children in terms of insisting that they have a healthy snack at school. Stand up for your children to ensure that they don't take recess away, which, of course, the fitness element is another big piece of the puzzle. Pack their lunch whenever possible. And when opportunities present themselves to participate in any kind of an educational program for your children, whether you cook with them or garden with them or let them pick out some fruits and vegetables at the grocery store, these things have long-lasting results.
What accounts, though, for kids' resistance to vegetables? Does it have to do with their taste palates at all?
It absolutely does. I think we forget as adults that by the time we're our age, which we'll just let that go, we've lost about 50% of our taste buds. And so the way we experience broccoli is far different than the way a child experiences broccoli, let's say. It's far more bitter. The flavor is that much stronger for children. And so that's where we absolutely put the stamp of approval on putting a dash of Parmesan cheese on something, maybe cooking it in a different way. Maybe they'll accept it if it's raw instead of cooked. Different ways to get that in, because definitely they are super tasters.
How much does a parent's behavior in terms of what they consume at home matter in what children will eat at home or away from home?
I would say it's a crucial component, because they will absolutely mimic what you do. So if you're going to say, eat your vegetables, but you are not eating yours, that's what they're going to walk away with. If your snack is an apple and a low-fat cheese stick, those habits that you can, you know, install or establish now will carry them through a lifetime of health.